With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. There may be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but I prefer a tincture.
And the only thing sharper than my knitting needles are my observations.
You guys. Oh my God, you guys. I literally might cry. I'm like feeling very emo and I can't even blame it on PMS. It's episode 293 and I'm so excited because this is actually a very big deal. And I don't know why I said actually, because it's always a big deal when I'm recording with this person who's one of my favorite Bravoholics and also writer girls, which we'll get to. I gotta say, guys, it's the first time recording an in-person podcast. Andy's Girls. What's the name of the show? Oh my God, 293. What is it? Since COVID, aside from the live show at Club Coming with OG of the AG, Damian Bellino, in October. So this is a very big deal. I'm so excited to be, I'm triple excited as I am triple vaccinated to be recording in the Clawfest with one of my favorite people, writer behind So Let's Talk About.com and a Miami stan, maybe, which we'll get to. Rafi D'Angelo, welcome back to Andy's Girls. How are you?
Very excited to be in someone's closet. I haven't been in a closet since middle school.
Wow. Okay, trigger warning. It's actually Clawfest. Thank you so much. It's a closet office.
But I'm facing the closet part.
Yeah, the best part. Oh, you know what? I didn't even think of that. Right. Oh my God, you do get a much, not yes. just because you're looking at me, but like it's like the it's the wall of Manolos yes. and vintage you, and other collected it's very, dresses.
I don't know if everyone has seen.
They like, haven't yet.
I yeah, you should, yeah, though. You should show it, especially like just from this view. I'm just looking at dresses and heels. Yeah. Like the whole wall is just dresses and heels. Yeah. So it's fabulous.
Thank you. I am waiting on one. Well, we have shelving. This will be really helpful for you guys since it's an audio podcast. But there will be more shelving for the Manolos at the bottom. And there is a piece that is hopefully coming maybe this week that will complete it for like right here where there's that empty frame. So we'll see. TBD on that. I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
So this is a really big deal. This is, you know, when friend of the pod, Studio Piccolo, who designed the space when we started working together, the goal was to have a space where I could record and be inspired by dresses and shoes. So I'm so excited that we're recording in person. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We did it, Jeff. So listen, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm great. Ask me about my tagline.
Tell me about your tagline and needles and observations.
So I decided to, my sister used to crochet when I was younger and she taught me how to crochet.
Crochet what? Anything?
Like just blankets, mostly like blankets, scarves, stuff like that.
Into it.
And forgot all about it. I hadn't crocheted since I was like, I don't know, five. And then I picked it up a few years ago as like an anxiety kind of thing because, you know, people like fidget spinners. And I was like, well, that's silly. like I can do yarn and
use
my fingers.
Scarf.
Right.
Yeah,
instead, I'll have
products.
A product.
Yeah.
So I started doing a little crochet. I was like, oh, that's nice. I made this huge blanket for the couch. Everybody who comes over sees it. They're like, oh my God, how much was that? Is it like $500? It's so luxurious. I have to, I'll show it to you. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to try knitting. I've never done that before. So I go online, YouTube, teach myself how to knit, made a couple scarves. And I was like, you know what? I think I can make a coat. Go straight from scarves to coat. And someone had sent me a pattern for a cardigan.
No.
And it was like this patchwork cardigan. And I was like, I like the idea, but I don't like the proportions or the colors or the pattern or
but otherwise it's
about
perfect.
It.
But otherwise it's perfect. Great. Otherwise it's
so
great.
So that was my inspiration for it. Oh, I guess I should have pulled up a picture so everybody can get your reaction.
Oh yeah, guys, this is so fun for an audio podcast that we're talking visuals and I love it. I'm here for it.
So I decided, I was like, you know what? I want to make a coat because I have this event to go to and the dress list was like it was like dress
from home crochet.
No, it was just like dress to impress, like turn a look. I was like, okay, I'm gonna turn a look. So I made this coat. It is lined, zippered.
What the fuck?
Isn't that fabulous? Swipe.
What the fuck? This is actually, this is how I am as a person. This upsets me.
Look at that lining.
Oh my
God,
guys,
that lining
I'm going to post this on social when the app goes up so you can see. I'll put it in the on the Instagram post of it. Oh my God, and Harry Styles is your inspo.
Yeah,
holy
so that was the inspiration,
shit.
But I just thought I could do it better, and I did.
How long did that take you?
So I'm not sure how long the patches took me because I just do it on the couch while I'm like watching TV. So I'm making another one for someone, and I'm actually logging how long I'm knitting
it. Are you charging them?
Yes. Because I posted it on Twitter and the people were like, I want one, blah, blah, blah. And so this lady put half down as a deposit and I was like, okay, I'll make her one. And she changed some of the colors and stuff. And I was like, all right, you know, because it's customizable. But it took me like 4 hours to put it together. Like after all of the patches and stuff were done, it took me 4 hours to like actually put the sleeves on and the zipper in and the lining. That all took me 4 hours.
Question for you. What's the difference between knitting and crochet?
Crochet is one and it's a hook.
Knitting is
two needles.
So I tried knitting for like 40 minutes many years ago. And then I was like, I think I'm good. I couldn't remember how to do it. And then I like remember how to redo it. And I never picked it up again. But that's such a good
it's
idea.
It's definitely not for everybody. What I say is when people look at that code and was like, oh my God, it's so hard. Da, da, da. I was like, knitting isn't hard. Once you get the motion, it's just repetitive.
And I that love is, repetitive.
That's not for everybody. For me, it's like, it's great for anxiety. Anytime I feel anxious, I have my little knitting. Yeah. I knit in bars. I knit at parties. Like, I'll be the person like, oh, I am done with all this social interaction. I'm going to sit out on the couch and bring my knitting needles. And then the other quiet people in the room come sit next to you because they're like, oh, what's this person doing? This is the chill corner. Yes, I have knit at so many parties.
Follow-up question. Can AGs get in touch if they want to order a custom piece?
Yeah, that's fine.
Where can they reach out to you?
I mean, I am Rafi D'Angelo on everything, every platform. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not opening an Etsy store. It's not like I'm looking for people who, you know, I'm not
you
trying
might not
to
have
start
capacity
a business.
For that, right.
I'm not trying to start a business. But if somebody offers me enough money like this lady did on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And it's fun to do. So
wait a second, because I am now in this like beautifully redesigned apartment. I do need a blanket for the couch.
You need a blanket.
And sidebar, my mom is coming this weekend. First time like seeing the space. And the last time she was here, I was like, bring something for warmth. So I'm like this much of a basket case where I was like, you need a towel because I only have two towels from literally the 80s from your house. No joke, literally the 80s are the two towels I have. And I was like, bring a blanket and I have a pillow. And she just brought warm clothes. And
aww,
then
that's so nice.
Yeah, it was it
you can
was
kind
funny.
Of see the blanket in the back corner there. It's a queen size blanket, so you can't actually see the size.
So angry.
That's the blanket.
I'm really upset about this. That's a glimpse into my personality type. I needed
that's our couch blanket.
I need it immediately. Okay, we're gonna we'll talk because I truly need a blanket and I want you to make it because it'll mean so much more if it's from you and not Amazon Prime.
I am much more likely to make a blanket for someone than a coat because the blanket doesn't require anything other than the yarn. The coat, I mean, there is a lot of. I had to sew the lining together, like on my sewing machine.
This is fascinating.
I had to hand stitch the zipper in because that's the only way you can attach a zipper to yarn. And I had to like physically put this thing there. Oh, I put toggles on it so I could make like a nice little turtleneck wrap at the top.
Oh, the thing that you pull.
Yeah, the little.
Yeah, with the thing.
So it was. There are a lot of different skills in that coat, but the blanket, you know, just sit on the couch, go straight back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
How long would it take you? And guys, add on a day when you're sending in a proposed quote.
That blanket took me 3 weeks during quarantine to do while we were watching
Marvel
movies.
Fuck me. That's a lot of time of like hours a day.
Oh, like just whenever. It wasn't like I was just doing it all the time, but from beginning to end for a queen size blanket, 3 weeks, I feel like that is really speedy.
I'm already thinking of the money. I wanted you to be like an hour and a half.
Oh, no. No, wow. That's a. But it can be faster because that is a small yarn. If you want a bigger yarn, that's less stitches and it goes a lot faster.
Okay, well, we're going to do a design consultation on the new people's couch after this.
Yep.
Do you watch Housewives while you're knitting, crocheting?
I do. It depends on which franchise because, you know, some I pay more attention to than others. But, yeah, I definitely knit or crochet during the boring ones.
Which ones do you consider boring?
OC.
Okay, wait. We need to have a conversation because I want to say a personal statement.
Okay.
And you tell me if you disagree, which I feel fairly confident that you will. As I've thought about this today, I actually felt a little emo. Maybe I am, even though it's not technically, I'm going through some sort of hormonal stage at this point today in my life, spiritually and otherwise.
Where you are in your pajamas.
Well, I mean, it's for a guest. Otherwise, I would be in a robe. I accidentally saw like Zoom video recently when you're like recording whatever. There were so many episodes of AG in deep COVID where I was absolutely in the thinnest possible robe looking like fucking shit. No, this is a new Macy's Supercell clearance schmada. So this is my Springsteen hoodie from 75 years ago. It's my version of upscale. Thank you so much. I just want to let you know that. But I was thinking about this earlier and I want you to tell me your thoughts. I realized that for the last couple weeks, noting that there are moments and scenes that I disagree with or maybe find cringe, I am completely satisfied and enjoying of the four franchises, three of the four, to such an extent that I feel like I'm glowing when I'm watching. And those four are Miami.
Yes.
New Jersey.
Yes.
And Orange County. Ugh. Sorry. And I thought part one of Salt Lake was great, but like there is something about Orange County and New Jersey this week and Miami, of course, the finale, and I just started the reunion, are I found them sublime. I was like, this is why I'm a Bravoholic, because these shows are making me think, they're making me laugh. I don't in any way feel weird about like production stuff having to do with it or any of the women specifically. It just feels like peak great content. And I feel so fortunate that there are three franchises that I feel that way about. And I want to hear your counter since...
Well,
Orange County might not be a fave.
Well, Orange County is better right now than it has been. Mm-hmm. So I feel
what a high bar.
I feel like that's maybe where it's coming from. It's like, oh, this is so much better than shit. It's awesome. Like that's where that's coming from. But it's not great, because my big thing with OC is like, it's entertaining in a way that it hasn't been. I just don't care about anybody. So I'm not invested in them in a way that I would be a franchise that I care about the people. Like, and some I actively dislike. So mm-hmm. I recognize that Jen is in a terrible marriage, but I don't like her. So I don't care. So I'm like, you deserve that terrible marriage because you're a bad person. So.
I mean, I don't know how to say this. I had a lot of people get in touch about like how cringe they thought that dinner scene was. And it's going to sound... This is my honest take was like, I thought it was really funny and enjoyable. And I don't feel the stakes here because, as you said, like, I don't care about her. And I don't know if she stays on the show or doesn't. I don't think she will.
No,
but
she won't.
If she stays on the show or doesn't, it does not affect my life in any way because she's sort of a non-entity. And as a result, it makes the scene to me much more interesting, which is a counter to what I normally say, because for me personally, there are no stakes. This isn't a Shannon David situation. This isn't even a Heather Terry onion ring at the fucking bajillion dollar barbecue moment. This is a woman who's drinking to excess. It is awkward in the best possible way to me. She is in a strange marriage and relationship, but seems to be, from my perspective, an active participant in some of the toxic
energy. Yeah,
and energy.
Making it terrible. These are two
right,
terrible people.
It's not
people
this
who
bad guy and this
each
like
other.
Right. I think it's two people who are speaking at or of each other, and he is at the point where he does not know how or does not care to communicate anymore, and she's communicating in all the worst ways. And then she drinks a fucking shit and looks like it. She makes to me an ass of herself. And I don't mean that as a critique. I'm so appreciative for it. I thought it was an iconic dinner scene. I'm sorry. That's just how I felt.
I don't disagree necessarily. It just does not, like, it doesn't do anything for me.
Mm.
It doesn't do anything for me watching kind of like two unhappy people stick it out or the end of a marriage. Like, both of those things are sad to me. So even though I don't like care about her as a person, like, you know, there's like little kids who are going to be shuttled between.
Right.
So these two little kids are either going to have very unhappy parents or they're going to have separate parents who are still going to be unhappy because they are genuinely unhappy people. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like the kids seem delightful. The little bits of them that we get to see on
remember.
TV.
I don't remember anything about them. You're mentioning children. I've seen every episode.
Like the little when they.
Does she have a ginge?
I don't know. No, they're blonde kids.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like when they were at the, she took her daughter to get a pedicure.
Oh, right.
And they were talking about the nanny. It was like, yeah, she's like a mom.
I remember that her daughter borrowed her like Chanel makeup. And I was like, I
her daughter named herself. That's so boss. You just, so they gave her daughter. See, you don't care about this franchise either.
Like, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I honestly tune out. I tune
exactly.
out when she's on screen. I don't mean it on purpose. It's just she's so boring.
I think kids are like the truth tellers, you know.
Yes.
So whenever somebody's kids are on, I pay more attention, even if I don't like the parents. But yeah, so at one point she's talking about her daughter, and they gave her daughter a name, but she started calling herself something else at like 1.5. And
Whoa.
So now that's what they call her.
Wow.
Like, she just renamed herself
that
at 1.5.
Move.
And so now that's her name. I think it's Cece. I think that's what she
that's
named herself.
Name.
But yeah, so that's her name now. And that is a boss child. The same child who said the nanny is more like a mommy. So I love, like, the kids seem delightful. Mm.
If you were one of her friends, you know, there was that like weird counseling session dinner that didn't go terribly well, but if you were one of Jen's friends, what would you be advising her right now?
Well, Jen is not a person I think you can advise.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think she is the kind of person who is set in her ways and that she is correct, mm-hmm. and that any problem that she has is the other person's fault. Like, I think she gives lip service to the fact that, you know, I work all the time and blah, 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 but hasn't really looked into, like, what that is doing to mm-hmm. her or her family. Not that, you know, moms can't work. My mom worked and everything was great. But she just does not focus on her family in a way and doesn't appreciate him. And she says that she recognizes that, but that's not, like, she's not that kind of reflective person. I feel like she just needs a divorce. She needs a divorce, work on herself, be a good mom, and that's it.
And I don't know what kind of partner she's looking for. I would assume that she likes the fact that this is someone who, I mean, they keep referencing the fact that he doesn't wear a shirt, which I'm like, why yeah, is this like so frequently a topic?
He's not even like a top 10 husband to me.
I wouldn't think of, like, ranking him. I'm just he's in the room matter, again. Right. Like he's of no consequence in any way. No. But she married a very specific personality type and they have a specific arrangement.
She married a personality type that is now biting her in the ass. Like she married a personality type to, like, get her through her dad dying and yeah. all of that kind of stuff. So she married
a carefree
personality type. And that's what she got.
Yeah.
But now that is no longer working for her. Like, she married this personality type to help her through her grief. But that is like, the person you are during grief is not the person you are all the time. So now she is not the person she was when she needed that personality type.
Such a good point.
So I think she needs herself. Like, she needs another person just like her, and then a nanny to run the household. Like, she needs another person mm-hmm. who is just as, like, career driven, mm-hmm. family standoffish, mm-hmm. like that. She needs that kind of also parent, which isn't great for the kids, but that's the person that she's looking for.
That's
she's
the kind looking of partner.
For, she is looking for someone who is bringing that same kind of thing to the table, because I think that even if she had it, she wouldn't want to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Like, she would still be doing the same thing, and you would have two parents who are always working. But, you know, maybe if she had another support system, she would work less. Like, if you have two people who work, like, she's working 125% mm-hmm. and Ryan is working like,
what a fucking terrible name. Yeah. Speaking of names, so Cece needed to help him out. That's all I have to say.
So she's going 125% mm-hmm. at all times, and he's going like 25%. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe if she met another go-getter, they would both go 75. So then they would have energy left over. I don't know. I'm just, like, trying to give her anything because I don't like that lady.
What does it mean to be in a relationship, in a marriage, in a committed marriage with kids, and realize or understand that you want to be with a very different personality type? Like, there seems to be some sort of human response of, this person just needs to change because I have changed, or we need to change together. But, like, how realistic is that to expect Ryan to be someone who communicates, to be someone who puts on a shirt and socks? Like, how, if that is what matters to her genuinely, it might matter to her that she goes to a fancy dinner with friends at a bajillionaire's house and this person shows up and feels like they fit into this environment. Like, how do you handle that if you realize that your environment has changed but your partner isn't able to adapt to and with it?
I mean, that's why marriages end. Like, yeah, most of them end, and it's because people change. And unless you're changing in the same direction, then it's not going to work. Unfortunately for these two, it's not that she changed so much as she just, that phase in her life was over.
Yeah.
So,
God, that's also one of the concerns of, like, jumping into any kind of significant relationship after a period
after
of
any upheaval.
But that's like a huge upheaval.
Not, yeah, because you're not the you're not yourself.
Yeah.
Surrounding that mm-hmm. time. So that was her mistake, and now she's living in it.
I was talking about this actually with someone the other day when I was talking about, like, previous dating Yada, that there had been someone that I was like sort of getting to know or getting to know again or whatever. And they were going through a significant loss, and I was, and they wanted a serious committed relationship immediately following it. And I was like, I can't, I can't do it, because I don't know who you are yet. And you are now a different person than you were a couple months ago, a year ago, whatever the case may be. And I don't, I can't do that. I can't jump into that with you, because I'm still trying to figure out who I am, let alone who you are, let alone who we can be together. And it's just, for some people, I could see that working, in the sense that if you lose someone in your family, I understand the urge to want to create and begin your own family together. Like, I get that. But I think the challenge associated with it, exactly as you said, when you come out of that phase,
who are you
and who are you left with? I mean, that's really tough. Like, who are you? It's almost like you have to reintroduce who you are to this person who's probably thinking, who are you now? I was with somebody for 5 years, 6 years. I don't remember how fucking long they were married, because I, again, wasn't paying big attention. But like, the process of reintroducing yourself to yourself, let alone to your spouse, that's got to be really intense. And I don't know that that's something that Dr. Jen is able to even understand.
No.
Or interested in. Or she might interested not be, in. She might not be interested.
She just wants Ryan to be a different person. Like, that's it. Like, that's the end of it. Like, she wants Ryan to be a different person than he is ever going to be. So.
Yeah, and I feel like we need to think a little bit about the Shane Simpson Accord, which is like the idea that for many of us, and maybe understandably so, his first season, a lot of us were like, he's a piece of shit. He's not listening to his wife. He seems very uncomfortable in their marriage. And what, and I actually also PK too. And I feel like in getting to know both of them over the over their, you know, seasons, and as they've gotten more comfortable with being on camera, understanding the environment, I have a lot of respect for them. Like, I really appreciated Shane this episode talking about his religion and spirituality, listening to Emily, countering her when he's like, you don't know the situation with your parents. And I wonder with Ryan, because I really genuinely find myself respecting Shane, and I wonder with Ryan, like,
would he be better as time goes on?
Well, it's like,
how, I think the difference here is that Shane and PK are married to better people than Jen.
Oh my God, you're totally right.
No, I'm serious.
I know. Because, I know you are. I know you are.
Like, so, like, Shane was being an asshole opposite a decent person.
Yeah.
Ryan is being an asshole opposite an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Like, yeah. And also, like, is he not drinking because of, is it because he's Mormon? He never actually answered it. He said either I'm Mormon or an alcoholic as a like one-off joke. And I was like, wait a second, but
I thought he was Mormon.
I think he is Mormon. Yeah. I think that's because he said some like smart ass comment back to Terry.
Because I just remember being shocked that there's so many Mormons. Like, yeah, why are there so many Mormons? This is not Utah. I did not know there were so many Mormons in Orange County. I shouldn't be surprised. I live with a former Mormon. They are literally everywhere. So,
I love that.
Like, there are so many Mormons everywhere. This is the second former Mormon I've lived with in New York City, actually. The first one was from Florida. I met him on MySpace. He came up to visit and never left.
Oh, my God. Talk about a top eight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, yep. He came up to visit me once and never left. He was supposed to be here for 2 weeks, and he was here for like 8 years.
Did he
and
pay?
He was in Ireland.
Oh, yes, like, he did. Like, I was like, at least
yeah,
he paid his rent.
He enrolled at Hunter College, graduated, everything. But he came to visit and just never left.
He
was
love
a former
that.
Mormon. And then my roommate right now is a former Mormon who grew up in Georgia. So there are a lot.
I have only met someone who I know who I was aware of who is a Mormon in high school, who's so sweet. Although there was one awkward moment when he told me, knowing that I was Jewish, and I was like one of the few Jewish kids at my high school in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. And he told me that his church prayed over Jews to convert them to Mormonism after they died.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And apologies to Mormons if I'm like screwing this up. This is my remembrance of what he said to me at 16. Yeah. And I think I responded back immediately and was like, you know what? I think we're actually all set. Like, I don't think
like,
we're...
Like, please don't do that to me when I die.
Please. But I was like, did we give you consent, like, as ghosts? Because I don't think that's a part of our shtick. Like, yeah. I think we're just like, have a party and then goodbye.
Yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah, that was a fun learning experience of like, ooh, I don't know how I would feel about that. But like I
But you'll
I,
be dead, so you won't
That's
know.
Right.
Like, I really don't care what prayers you put on
that's
me
true.
After I'm dead. If it makes you feel happy, go
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, any little prayer you want, say a little prayer for me. I don't care.
I just sang that in my head.
Right. Like, do not care. Anything you want to do after I'm dead,
oh
I will
God.
Not know about it.
Are there any aspects of Orange County that are getting your attention? Or are you just overall like, this is not where I want to be?
It's not that I hate it.
Mm.
It's just... Like, I don't have anybody to root for, really.
Okay.
So I'm not that invested.
Okay.
I don't mind Heather.
Okay.
I don't mind Gina.
Okay.
And I don't mind Emily.
Okay.
But I don't root for any of them. I don't uh-huh. actively like them. I uh-huh. will not follow them outside of the show. I don't mm-hmm. care what happens to them. Mm-hmm. I don't find them incredibly compelling. Mm-hmm. I do find Emily funny sometimes, though.
She Emily, is genuinely
Emily
fun. And
is funny.
And Gina has a great sense of humor, too. Gina's quick.
Gina is comfortable. I feel
That's
like
true.
Gina
That's
is, like,
point.
Very comfortable, mm-hmm. but, like, she's not witty. She's just, like, comfortable in mm-hmm. her status now as, like, kind of a veteran.
Yeah.
And so now she has kind of a different air about her mm-hmm. as a tenured person. Mm-hmm. on the show mm-hmm. that has new people.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Emily can be funny. Shannon's just one of the most obnoxious people.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Interesting.
I know.
I'm disassociating from
yep,
my body
right.
right now. When you said three, I was like, in invisible ink, I'm adding the Shan yep. at the end of this.
She's just so annoying to me.
Is she?
She is.
Why is that?
Because the tone of her voice is one of the things.
When she laughs, my heart soars.
I'm glad that for you and her.
I love her so much.
That's delightful.
Is there ever a point where you could find
like her?
Yeah. Or appreciate her or do you
yeah,
like her
I
on the show?
I could if I changed everything about her and she was
okay.
a different person.
Well, that's fine. Apparently, that's something that people can do in yeah. marriages and relationships, so yeah. we might as well be able to do it with individual housewives.
Go for it, Shannon. Be a new person.
I think
but she's not like a malicious person or anything like that.
No,
like,
no,
I don't
no.
think, like, she's not evil or anything. She is just, you know, I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond
okay.
on 61st. Is it still, didn't it close?
No, may know. Its memory be a blessing.
Yeah. So I worked there for a while, and a lot of those women remind me of Shannon. Most of our customers were women who used to be rich.
Oh, that's tough.
And weren't anymore. And they still behave as though they are rich.
Yeah.
And it is very obnoxious. And so yeah. anytime she is on the screen, it's like, oh, you used to be rich.
She's got to go to Turtle Bay with her receipt and her right. pillow from 8 months
mm-hmm.
ago.
Yep.
And she's
that
like, you know what? I can no longer afford this $30 pillow.
It's her. So, no, thank you, Shannon Bedore. The Bedore is closed.
Wait, but in the dynamic of Shannon and Gina, I mean, what do you think of Gina? One could argue potentially uber focusing on Shannon and applying the idea of malicious intent to Shannon's character. Like, what do you think of that?
I think I, too, if I was faced with Shannon all of the time, would have
you.
A
I'm
worse.
Kicking you out.
I feel like I would have a worse opinion of her if she was in my face. I think the television screen being removed, like she being removed from me, means that I can be a little more objective because you see bird's eye. But if I am Gina and Shannon is in front of me, I, too, would probably have a more negative opinion of Shannon.
Why is that?
Because Shannon is so over the top and emotional and like, I don't know what goes on in her head.
I don't think she knows. I mean that with love.
Right. Like, I don't know what, I just don't understand her motivations as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I don't think she's a mean person.
No.
But I also don't think she knows how to be nice, maybe, like you know, being a great person is kind of a learned skill that mm-hmm. she doesn't have, so mm-hmm. she's not like, oh, I'm an evil malicious character, but she doesn't know how to be a great person.
And what's the difference between Shannon then and Heather Dubrow? Do you think Heather Dubrow is a great person?
No.
What's the quality? Why does that have to
because
be a qualification
Heather, because,
for Shannon
because,
but not Heather?
Because
Heather
Heather's
has
less
other
annoying.
Things.
Yes.
Got it.
Shannon is an annoying person who does not have this learned skill. Heather is not an annoying person, and I genuinely like watching people react to Heather. Mm-hmm. Like, Heather is just such a ridiculous person that you don't never see on TV. Mm. There are a lot of people like Shannon on TV. There are not a lot of people like Heather on TV, it's where really you have funny. This, like, uber liberal, super rich, completely unself-aware, like,
God bless.
Just all these different parts of a person that do not go in one person. Mm-hmm. Like, you do not see those characteristics in the same person.
Yeah.
So I think it's fascinating to watch her enormous, huge, ridiculous house and all of her enormous, ridiculous money while being a liberal. It's so fun.
I feel like with Shannon, not to bring it back to my spiritual best friend, but I feel like with Shannon, I think Shannon has been in crisis for so long in her life, and there was a long period of her time with David where she was in crisis but unwilling to acknowledge it, and then he forced her to acknowledge it when he left her. And I feel like she's probably one of those people who, without a specific crisis, doesn't know how to acclimate back to, like, a consistent, even-keeled flow. And life might not work out that way, and there's things that happen that you don't have any control over, but I feel like there are aspects of her that are constantly cycling. Like, her individual pattern, speed, mode is always, like, uber activated, and she doesn't necessarily know how or maybe want to change that. So when you deal with housewives who are now much more comfortable, much less senior than her, but like Emily and Gina are obviously a lot more comfortable in this role, and maybe with their cast members, Heather Dubrow has been comfortable since the day she was literally born, when she instructed the doctor on how to remove her from her mother and then reminded them to, like, do whatever the fuck they, like, oh, don't hit me so I can cry. I can do this on my own.
Actress. I can cry on cue.
Did you not see me on Malibu Country? But I feel like with Shannon, there are aspects of her, you know, where she, like, has a joke about being, like, fun Shannon, which I, of course, love. But there are aspects.
I did like when she called Heather a drug dealer.
That was nice. I mean, like, when she's like, she has quippy comments, and when she laughs, it makes me feel so warm. Like, I truly do die for her. But I feel like sometimes there are other aspects where she struggles. Like, I think she genuinely does struggle in social situations and struggles to, like, acclimate to the speed of her contemporaries, because they're just, I don't mean this in a critical way of her or them, but they're just on a different level than her. You know, like, I don't mean this as, like, a Kelly Ben Simone, I'm up here, you're down here, evidently she's Madonna. Like, I just mean it in the sense of, like,
or
Shannon's
in a Larsa
Pippen,
we have a new hand motion now because Larsa Pippen brought it back. So props to her.
Larsa Pippen. So I just started the Miami reunion.
Okay, but I didn't start it, so we can't talk about the reunion.
We can't talk about it.
I only watched the finale.
Okay, except to say, I will never take this back. Okay. This is a place of honesty. This is the Clophis is a safe space. I am very into Larsa on Housewives. I do not want the cast to change at all. And
I only want
Adriana
Kiki to be
of.
Added. I want Kiki to be added.
Okay, people keep talking about adding Kiki.
Yes.
And I love that.
Because I want to see her life. Because, you know, that's the difference between what we see as, like, a friend of or full-time.
Right.
You get to see their life. I'm going to see what her life is like. Mm-hmm. Like, going on her Instagram, like, oh, former Miss Haiti, and it's so fabulous. Like, I want to see her life.
Why don't you think we never really even got in? I don't remember why she's there. We never really.
I think she was just one of the people that was, you know, testing to be on the show.
Mm. I feel like she never got the chance to, like, show herself. And a lot of people are asking for it. A lot of people want to see it. And I would love to see it.
And she'll definitely be around next season.
Do you think she will? Definitely.
Yeah, she had a great time. And everybody had a great time with her, which is what matters.
Yeah.
Like, everybody enjoyed Kiki. Mm. So, and she, and it wasn't like she was boring. Like, she brought an extra little fabulousness. And, you know, it was great having Kiki around. Mm-hmm. So, I think she'll be back.
If you would have told me before this reboot that Adriana would be a mess, I would be like, of course, that's literally all that she can do. But if you would have told me that on the reboot, Larsa Pippen makes what I would consider a triumphant return, considering she was so, no, just in considering she was so awful, that for her to have, for me to be able to watch her and not like recoil is a genuine miracle.
She recoiled from her the first season she was on?
She was one of the, I would say that Larsa Pippen and Christy Rice were two of, in the top five, two of the worst housewives of all time.
And I think the Larsa that was on season one is still the Larsa that she is. And it came out when she was talking about her resume. I have the best resume of any of them. I've been married the longest and I have four kids. And I was like, you're still that person who is judging somebody for walking down a catwalk that you were in season one. You're still that person who is judging everybody who does not behave in the way that you behave while you are behaving the way you behave. Like, it is insane to me. So Adriana is a mess. Like, that's not.
Yeah, she doesn't.
That's not up for debate.
So chaotic.
But
so chaotic.
She definitely has a point when she is talking about how Larsa has always felt that she was better than the rest of them. And now she thinks she's even more better than the rest of them.
Right.
Like, she feels like she blessed the cast by showing up. And it's like, oh, now I'm super. Like, she thought she was better than them from the beginning because she had the best resume. She was the longest married one on the first season. And she already had all them kids. Like, she already had the resume. So now she has the resume plus the notoriety. Like, during that fight when she was saying, you know, since then, like, you haven't even been in the press. Like, I'm in the press. And, like, she thinks she's so much better than them just because she sleeps with 23-year-olds and gets in the press.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a thing. Like, Adriana is a more accomplished person than you are. What have you done, Larsa, other than be a wife and now be a side piece?
Well, no, that was an accomplishment. She was in a significant relationship with this, like, superstar, one of the best of all time from what people who watch sports tell me. And I did watch that thing. What was the thing called?
Did you watch it on
Netflix?
The Last Dance? Yes, it was so good.
It was so good.
So good.
And also, I don't understand. She keeps referencing all the money that they have. But when you watch The Last Dance, a big part of it
is about how little money that he got.
So, like, why do we keep... Does she not?
Maybe endorsements. I don't know where he got the money from.
I don't think that happened.
I mean, maybe she sold a lot of feet pics.
She's making fucking bank right now. She's making like allegedly $4 million plus.
And her feet are not that cute. I don't understand.
I mean, I would have to pay people to look at my feet, and I would not do that to them because I don't believe in.
So yeah. So Larsa is still the same person that she always was. She is a little hoity-toity. I'm better than you. I'm looking down on everybody else. Hypocrite.
Okay, I don't know why, because you're saying this and I don't disagree with you, but I don't know if I'm like feeling zesty right now or what. I just really genuinely enjoy her on the show.
Oh, I think she made really great television, but I wouldn't, like, I don't respect her, but she made good TV. She's one of those wives where it's like, oh, this is great for conflict, but I do not respect you as a person.
I feel like I side with her in some parts. Maybe it's because I feel like Adriana is such a shit show. She feels like the worst aspects of Tamra Judge from like from the beginning of Tamra's time. And no, and apologies to Tamra, honestly, for making that comparison. But like an agent of chaos who's just there to fuck with people.
I don't dislike Adriana as a person.
What?
I don't dislike her as a person. I think she's like a mess. But I would trust Adriana before I trust Larsa. Like, because Adriana, it's on her sleeve. Like, you know exactly who Adriana is. Mm-hmm. And Adriana is a friend who, like, shows up for you. And I genuinely was invested in her friendship with Julia. It was weird to me in the beginning, too. But I had the same turnaround that Nicole did. Where I was like, okay, now I understand this friendship. This is like an Oprah-Gayle friendship. This is like, these two people are obviously in love with each other in the deepest sense. That's
really
not romantic.
Point. That's a really
good
point.
And there isn't a whole lot of space for those kinds of relationships. Like, you... Like, where those deep, lifelong friendships, we don't see them that often because we make them romantic. But they are a little bit romantic because you are in love with this person that you just are not romantically involved with. Because love is not a finite resource. Adriana is not a threat to Martina. She's not a threat to their marriage at all. But this is like, you know, a very deep connection that they have. And I think it's really beautiful. And the fact that Julia is clearly a good person.
Yeah.
And has this friendship with Adriana.
Tells you something about Adriana.
Tells you something about
really
Adriana.
I hadn't thought about that.
So
you're making really, you're like really honestly changing and shifting my perspective, which is the absolute best.
Because really, what has Adriana done that makes you think she's a bad person?
I think she's very hypocritical. And I think that she's
like, give me like an example.
I think the whole thing with Gertie and coming at her at that dinner about making things about her when she was just sharing vulnerable moments at the table, I think it was disrespectful and slightly disingenuous. And I also
I agree that it was disrespectful. I wouldn't have done that. But even in that moment, like, I would not behave that way because I have better manners, but I would have thought it.
Okay.
Like, I didn't disagree with what she said. Like, I was thinking the same thing. I wouldn't have said it just because I have better manners and I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she is a housewife on a reality show. It's not like she is great at navigating social situations or isn't a little bit of a narcissist. Like, they all are a little bit of a narcissist. So the things that I would not say because it would hurt someone's feelings, they don't always have that off switch. And so she said it.
I think the thing with Adriana is that I look at her as someone who is almost incapable of growing or learning or taking responsibility. She seems to dig in her heels to such a great extent that it can be frustrating for me to watch her, because all I see is her get angrier and angrier about things that she might not agree with, but she's, to me, incapable of listening to other people when she feels like they're countering her opinion. And that, to me, is very frustrating to watch.
See, I only really saw that with Larsa. And I felt like she was digging in because she hates Larsa. Like, I didn't see it so much as, like...
Well, I think that was, like, the big counter. Yeah, I think I don't know who else she was really coming at aside from Gertie.
Yeah, I didn't see it so much as, like, you know, this is a personality trait where she can't admit that she's wrong. It's more just, like, I hate this lady so much, and I feel like she's being a hypocrite with her point right now.
Yeah, and I feel like a part of it for me, honestly, is there's a little bit of a baggage associated with the fact that we haven't seen these women in, what, 8 years or something insane. But I still remember the Adriana from before who annoyed me before. So now I see new people, new situations. I'm obsessed with, I think Marisol is doing better now on the show than she did before.
I'm glad she had that turnaround with Nicole, because I was completely cool on Miss Marisol after her, after that. When Nicole tried to smooth it over with her outside, was trying to have a grown-up conversation, and she just walked off like, you know, you're crazy if you think I care about this or whatever she said. I was like, that is the most petty, immature, ridiculous thing, because every point Nicole was making was very like, Nicole is the regular person of the season.
Yeah.
Like, she is just a regular person having regular conversations. She's rational. And Marisol was just like, oh, you're being a complete cunt right now.
Mm.
Like, I'm glad she... I'm sad that it took, you know, Alexia's tragic life to bring them back together. But I'm glad that she saw that, you know what, Nicole is a good person. Let's start fresh. I had a wall up because I'm used to, you know, people putting on airs and talking about us behind our back. So, yes, I believed something that maybe I shouldn't have. Should have taken you at your word. Like, I'm glad that they got better. But Marisol should have had a mojito.
I mean... And her fucking, like, sippy cup in confessionals, I'm obsessed with it. I don't know why I'm not tired of it. I can't get enough of it. Her, like, little bedazzled, like, J-Lo moment. Every time she picks it up, she's like, you guys haven't seen this before, but, like, look at what I'm about to do. Like, I am making you believe that this is my trademark, and I do believe it. Like, I find her so deeply enjoyable, and the thing with Adriana is she adds so much value to the show. I get it. I just don't want either of them to be full-time right now, because I think that they so excel in different ways at being friends. And as you said, like, let's get more of Kiki's life and her world. But I just think the cast is so good and so different. Obviously, unfortunately for Alexia, there seems to always, she has
the worst
luck to start. You haven't seen the reunion yet, but like, they start the reunion and get into stuff with her sons being arrested for alleged domestic violence.
At the end of the
finale.
Yeah, they did the little
That was
headline.
Her title card.
Yeah.
She can't even get
She cannot catch a break.
She didn't. Ostensibly, much of the season was a lead up to her marriage. We get
a funeral.
Handheld video of elopement in St. Bart's, which looked fucking romantic. I'd die for an elopement. Like, and it was a moneyed elopement. So, like, truly, I could not love it more. But, like, I couldn't believe we didn't see any of it. And then much like so much of Alexia's life, she doesn't even get to own her exit card. Her exit card belongs to her arrested, troubled son. It just sucks.
Like, there are very few, like, Housewives biopics that I would watch. I would watch hers. Like, I would watch her full from childhood, having a gay closeted daddy, all the way up to...
Herman.
Yes. Like, from that, you know, one of, like, wasn't her... Was it her first husband that was one of the cocaine cowboys?
Yep. Which is on Netflix, which I haven't watched, but a lot of people have watched.
So she got a gay closeted daddy, a cocaine cowboy first husband, a gay closeted second husband.
God bless. Who then died suddenly after they got estranged, or not estranged.
And then she has a son with, would you call it like a mental disability now? Like, what would you call his...
Which son?
The one that was in the accident.
No. I would call it a significant physical disability, including a traumatic brain injury of significance.
So
every brain injury is of significance, but yeah.
So with the brain injury and then her mom dying on her wedding day and then...
Dying on her wedding day.
And then grandpa dying like before the rescheduled wedding.
Did grandpa die?
Some grandparent died because
maybe Todd's,
because then it was like
right.
Because then it was like 4 months later.
Right.
Grandparents.
Right.
And then son. Yeah. So I would watch her biopic. Who would you watch? What would be your...
I mean, of anybody?
Yeah. What is your housewife
That's
biopic?
Such a good question. I mean, you're saying Alexia, and I'm like, I would watch the absolute fuck out of that. There are, you know what? My gut instinct, Alexia is 100% the number one. There are aspects of Bethany's extremely troubled childhood.
Mm-hmm. That would play good on Lifetime.
That would play good on Lifetime that I want, but I want to see HBO Prestige. I don't want to see, Alexia could make Lifetime look like HBO, but Bethany's childhood can't do it. You need to like have the script tight because that could be real bad real quick. But the racetrack, the mother narcissism, the then trying to
it
get a relationship
like
with her as an adult.
For white people.
And Bethany's like, I wear a sapphire, so that's
right,
close.
That's it. And I pushed myself to the top. Only the real reader's gonna get that one.
I got it. I feel like that could be magical. Can I ask you, were you surprised at all by how crucial Alexia was to the narrative of Miami going in, noting how she was the first time Miami happened?
Yes, only because I didn't expect more tragedy. Like, without the tragedy, she wouldn't have been integral to...
But she had so much continuing tragedy. She has so much ongoing trauma. Right. But, like, for like the son stuff,
because
both
Alexia
sons...
is not a compelling person to me. She's not that funny. She doesn't have like one liner. Like, it's everything happens around into her, but she has not made anything happen herself.
You know why Alexia to me is such a good housewife? Because she is a good person who's not perfect. She has obvious seeming imperfections in how she responds to people, the ways she can get incredibly reactive very quickly, the way that she gets heated extremely quickly, and Nicole's like, chill the fuck out. Like, there are aspects of her that are interesting because they are so obviously imperfect, and people are made of, we are drawn together according to our imperfections in many ways. And to see someone who is a woman to me of such extreme decency, who is trying to cope the best way she can with trauma after trauma, after trauma after trauma, after meeting the love of her life and introducing him to the trauma, and like him bringing in his own trauma and dealing with all of that, and seeing how she behaves in heightened situations, which might be, of course, according to some of that ongoing trauma, might be a reaction to it. But to watch her and be like, you are a whole person in the sense that there are aspects of you that I don't think I could ever be. Like, I don't know that I would be able to cope and go through life at the level that she is if the things that she had gone through as a parent had happened to me. Like,
you also don't know what you can deal with until you have to deal with it.
That's
like,
true.
There are a lot of things that have like happened to me. If you had asked me the year before they happened, if I could cope with it, I would say no. And if you asked Alexia if she could have dealt with you know, her mom dying her wedding day, she would have told you, no, I've been through too much already.
Right.
But then it happened, and what did she do? Bounce back.
I mean, I think my thing is, like, the stuff with Frankie touches me at such a level because my parents sort of, our lives broke when my brother broke his neck and is now a high-level quadriplegic. And so to watch the ways that her family copes or doesn't and is, like, stuck at the trauma point is not a trigger to me. It's a connector, but it feels very deep because, like, I watch that family scene and I know how honest it is and I know how painful it is. And it's like, I don't think my family would be open to having that. I know that they wouldn't be open to having that kind of conversation. So I watch the bravery that she has, but I also know, as the sibling of someone whose sibling in my life forever changed, like, I wouldn't be able to do what my parents did. I know it. I know as a fact. I don't want to be in that position to have to watch my child almost die and then have our lives die with it, you know, like, it's just, I just couldn't do it. I've experienced too much trauma associated with it. I think that's a big part of, like, why I don't think I want to have kids. Biological children, because I don't want to be in that position. I've seen so much trauma that I just don't want to be in that space. But the reality of life is decisions,
you never know what's gonna happen.
Right, and the decisions that you make don't necessarily preclude you from experiencing traumas like that. It just means that you're making a different decision in the meantime. And also, I could change my mind tomorrow, so, like, who's even to say? But I think it shows. I think she's a remarkable housewife. Do you think that she'll have a season of
just carefree fun
in the context of how that can be had, noting that she's still dealing with stuff?
I mean, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, like, most of it is because something happens to her.
Yeah.
So she didn't cause any of the trauma that is, you know, happening to her. So if she can get by without anybody in her life dying or hitting someone, then she will have a drama-free season where she can just have petty drama and petty arguments with the other women.
That's what I love. When she has, like, a petty moment, which she's only been able to get in little vignettes, I love that because I'm like, okay, great. This is a space where you have the freedom to make a bad decision without life-altering
consequences.
Thank you so much. Like, when she's a dick to Nicole or whomever else, or she's I love it for her because I'm like, great, this is a position.
Like, you get to play. You get to be on Housewives now.
And
so that's great.
Right. And the stakes are too big for her in her real life. I love watching her be a bitch to someone. Also, I have to say, I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but nothing. I feel such a connection to watching these women so fluidly.
Slip into Spanish.
Love it. It makes me feel so
accents.
Happy.
Like,
I love,
like,
their accents.
When Nicole is getting, like animated in English and the accent starts coming, I was like, yes, Nicole.
Oh, my God. Like, they're women of such incredible power.
Oh, that
power.
Moment where Gertie and Kiki, at the funeral, like, before the funeral, and they slipped into Haitian Creole to each other. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'd never seen that before. Like, that's wonderful. Like, they just, like, just, it was a quick little moment. And I was like, oh, great.
Do you find people talking about Miami in the way that you think it's deserved?
Yeah.
Good.
I do. Good. I feel like it energized kind of the franchise a little bit. Like, it was very exciting and it was very surprising how exciting it was. It was fresh, a lot of firsts on here. You have, like, a
lesbian
housewife. It was very different because the cast was very unique and the situations that they found themselves in were unique because the cast was unique. So it was great.
Martina Navratilova's, what she is, the spouse of a Real Housewife.
Isn't that crowd crazy?
And it's so perfect. It is. I honestly feel aglow when I think about Miami. This is, like, the reason that we love Housewives and we love diverse storytelling and we love money.
Because Julia's story is insane.
We haven't that actually unpacked it. I think that's going to be a big part. And again, guys, I only watched the beginning of the reunion because there was 7,000 hours of content. But like, I think we're going to get more of it on the reunion because she will have the space and the time in which to share more. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll get a lot of it next season. I think we're going to get more of it next season.
That's good. Yeah, like she was the one I was most excited about when the cast was released because I looked her up. I was like, oh, who is this lady? And I was like, what happened to her? It's like, oh, my gosh. Like that. Yeah. Like when she broke down at the little old memorial about her, you know, dead son, that was like crazy.
Beyond traumatizing.
Because, you know, she's never gotten closure for that.
Never. So. How could you?
Exactly. Like. We don't know where that lady is. Where is the nanny? She just kind of disappeared after that. So
very weird, very strange, very suspicious circumstances.
She will never know. That's always going to be like a question mark in empty space. So, yeah, very great casting there. And you know how we got that casting? Adriana, thank you very much.
Okay, fine. It's like we have to find the time and the space to celebrate the artistic excellence as it comes, because you know that there are going to be, what is it, like a fallow season? Like, you know there's going to be some valleys ahead. So let's just enjoy the peak while we have it, because this is a great moment. And
I think everybody
there
would
we go.
Return, because everybody, you know what? You know what's really great about Miami? Like, nobody flopped.
Nobody flopped.
Nobody flopped.
Not a single one
not
flopped.
Not even the friends flopped. Like,
not an episode flopped.
Right.
There was not even a flop episode.
I just realized that like
nobody
none
flopped.
Of the cast members are dispensable.
No.
That's
and
great.
They all work.
Yep.
They all work.
They brought like that. Good job.
Also, I really appreciate, again, there's no, I've said this previously and there's like no good way to say it, but I find Lenny and Lisa's marriage situation endlessly fascinating, because he like hates his wife and she is trying to force him to stay, and it's just, I didn't expect it. And
she's trying to force herself to stay as well, like when she's going around asking everybody's like
point.
Oh, do you like, isn't Lenny cute, like she needs that validation for people to tell her that Lenny's cute, because she doesn't think Lenny's cute. I think Lenny is cute, but she is not secure in how she feels about this man that she's stuck with as well. And so she wants
everybody
a little boost to, you know, make her more comfortable with the fact that she's stuck with this man that she don't like either.
That's such a good point, because I'm even thinking about it in a way that does not take note of her own agency.
Yeah.
Which is, and that's a great counter
you know,
to that.
But, you know, in a difference between like Jen and Ryan, I think they despise each other, but I think Lenny and Lisa just don't like each other.
Yes,
but it's not, but not maliciously don't like.
Yes,
like I think they are pleasantly tolerable of each other. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't feel like their marriage is on the rocks. Like, I don't feel like I don't feel like they're on headed for divorce. I think they are committed to just kind of like, ugh.
They're resigned.
Yeah,
resigned. Commitment
like,
is
you know,
a resignation.
Yeah, it's like, we got two kids. Like, I got my trophy wife. You got your rich husband. We got two kids. Maybe a third if she decides to do IVF. And it's like, ugh, okay, fine. Our life is great. Whatever. But not like I'm depressed about it. It's just kind of like rolling your eyes about it. I don't know how to explain it. It feels like a lighthearted dislike of each other.
I love this. This is fascinating. Because even in the like confessionals, he's like, I can't believe I have to sit next to you and listen to you talk, which I'm like,
and she's the
so
same way. She is the same way.
She's just
yes.
better at, she's just
yes,
has her
because
own way
she's
of,
camera ready. Like,
yeah,
she,
that's true.
Like,
that's really true.
And also, like, of course, you're going to like, see it from Lenny more because his face moves. Like, you're not gonna see how much Lisa is annoyed because her face does not move at all.
Has there ever been, you know, people use the language of plastic surgery, and I find myself slightly bewildered by some of it because I don't speak the language, but I'd one day love to learn, to be able to afford to learn. But the filler, has there ever been filler used well, or is that even a question on Housewives, or is that even a question because we wouldn't know that it was filler if it was?
If I went through a Rolodex, I could probably find you like filler done well.
Yeah.
But for Lisa, it's not just the filler. It's like also the like tightening and the Botox. Like her face doesn't move.
Yeah, but it's also very it looks like her skin is quite thick.
Right. Quite thick.
It does.
It looks like her skin is quite thick.
It's like she added a layer and the layer is like 2 to 4 inches. And it's like outside of, I mean that sincere. And she goes on the reunion and she's getting it taken out. But I don't even understand how you dissolve it. And guys, again, 2022 is the year of not learning. I don't want to learn about it. I don't want to know. I just want to question things and keep moving. It is my safe space.
Yeah, I'm sure someone has good filler.
Yeah, I mean, like
I'll compile you a list.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I
will go through and look at everyone's fillers.
Please.
Now I'm invested.
Thank you, and I appreciate that investment. And speaking of investment, I do want to shift gears to New Jersey because holy shit! Can I ask you? Did you watch the Louis clip of the video? Since Bravo is unable to,
why can't they show it?
Because I'm sure he was like, "I'm gonna sue the absolute fuck out of you if you do." And yeah, maybe the woman didn't get permission.
I watched it when it first like made the rounds. I watched it, but I only watched it once because I hate Teresa, so I wasn't like really invested. So I watched it once just out of curiosity. I wanted to see. I was like, "Oh, I was," I probably made the same face that Marge did, just like, "Oh." Okay, that's weird.
I saw maybe 2 seconds of it when it came out, but I watched 90 seconds of it today. I don't know if the full clip is a minute 30, but that's what I found available. And it is fascinating that he like quite literally proposed to this woman multiple times. Mm-hmm. And yet in the scene is absolutely rewriting history.
I'm fascinated that nobody pushed back.
I think that they were afraid of him in the moment. And shouldn't the person who's pushing back be his fucking now fiance?
No.
Like,
no.
They don't need to fact check him in the moment. They just need him to not snap.
No, like, Teresa's not gonna. Teresa is my least favorite person. I just.
Really?
I cannot stand Teresa because, I actually had a better view of her after Girls Trip. Like, my view of Teresa changed. Well, it altered slightly after Girls Trip because before Girls Trip, I knew that Teresa was the dumbest person on the planet, and I knew that she was an extreme narcissist, but I assumed that she was also super malicious and didn't have any goodness in her. On Girls Trip, I realized, she is a stupid narcissist, but there is goodness in her.
Mm-hmm. There definitely is.
Right. I did not.
She can be a woman of, like, great warmth.
I did not see any goodness in Teresa before Girls Trip. Mm-hmm. So now, she's back in her habitat, and she's just being stupid narcissist Teresa. Like, she is the dumbest person, but she's also a self-centered person. So like this fight that she's having right now with Melissa, and the same fight that she's always having where they have to stick up for her but she don't have to stick up for them. It's the same fight,
right?
And she cannot contextualize that she did anything wrong because she's stupid and she is a narcissist who can't have, like, everybody has to be on her side all the time. It always has to be about her, and she can't see that she needs to be there for anybody else. I just don't understand how these people operate around her.
What's the difference between a lack of intelligence and just an instinct for relying on one's instinct, like a guttural instinct? To me, Teresa, intelligence aside, is to me a very instinctive person. She relies on her instinct, and maybe she was put in a position where she absolutely had to, and then make decisions according to like how much she needed to bury what she knew reality could potentially be. Like, how much of a lack of intelligence would you associate with just her coping mechanism and the way that
that's
she was
the
way that she was
relying only on your gut is a lack of intelligence, because we all have gut instincts. Your intelligence and rationale comes in to either go with your gut or to check it. That's where the logic comes in. Like, if you like are, my gut says, my instinctive reaction to do something might be whatever. And then you take a beat and you think about what it was. So if your instinctive reaction in the moment is to be upset at Melissa for whatever reason, and you go with it because your brain never turned on, and it never took in the rest of the situation because you're stupid and you can't process outside information. Like, over the course of the series, Teresa blows up when too much information is presented to her. She overloads because she can't handle too much information at once. She just continues to just run on adrenaline and gut because once you give her too much input, the computer overloads. Like, that's it.
Do you think that Joe is similar?
Joe is similar in the fact that he's like really passionate, but Joe thinks.
Yeah.
Like, Joe is not a stupid person. No crook is a stupid person.
Oh my God. Like, he's coming for you as soon as he finishes jacking off in the car.
Oh, he's so hot. He's top 10.
No, he's not.
Oh my God. Joe is so hot.
Okay. There's a great point in the after show because during the episode, everyone was like, this is absolutely legit. He absolutely watches porn in the car. Mm-hmm. And then during the after show, Melissa's like, no, he definitely doesn't. It was a joke. It was a joke. And there's a moment where Joe's like, Marge's Joe is saying, like, if you really do this, you're a fucking moron and you need to stop because it's dangerous. And there's a moment where Joe almost like looks to the camera and he starts blushing and he's like, he has a little smile and he's like, yeah, I don't really do it. It was a joke. And we all know that he really
does it.
It was very charming. I have to say, I couldn't stop laughing.
He's adorable. Joe has good fillers.
Joe Gorga?
He has good filler.
That's a good point. Also, Melissa's work is good, even though
I don't know about her fillers. Like, I know she's
I don't know about fillers,
but like Joe has fillers and they're great.
Wow. And you think he's a top 10?
Yes.
Hottest. You would put him above Evan Goldschneider?
Oh yeah. Like, Evan's not
Are you
he's
fucking
so much
kidding?
Hotter. He's so much hotter.
Oh
than
my
Ed.
God, the things that I would do to Evan Goldschneider, the things that he would do to me as I again, a place of glowing, I would just be like,
Joe,
oh my God.
Joe is probably my number one.
Joe Gorga.
Joe is probably my number one. He's been so hot for so long.
Oh my God.
He's so hot. And I love a little meatball.
He definitely is.
Yeah, he's a little juicy meatball.
Jesus. shifting ever so slightly, how did you unpack the Jen, Aiden, Marge, Melissa of it all with some, I guess, some Jackie.
What's the Melissa of it all?
The
you mean
charging,
what's the uselessness of it all? Sorry, Melissa.
The charging.
I didn't see Melissa's charging. I thought she was trying to leave. I didn't think she was charging.
Maybe she
after
thought so
Jen.
Too. And she was like, oh wait, I ran right. around the wrong side of the table.
Yeah, I thought she
I
was
guess I'm confronting you.
I thought she was trying to leave.
Like, well,
like when I watched
maybe the
it,
scene.
Yeah. I thought she was trying to like go in the house, like leave the patio. So I didn't see her as charging after Jen at all.
Somebody posted a TikTok today. I wish I remembered who did and the person's TikTok, but it was like the reasons that you know Melissa didn't actually want to fight because she always finds a piece of furniture to run around. She never goes straight. And she's like, there's a big difference between Melissa always finding a table to run around and Dolores who goes straight at you.
Well,
like I'm going to fuck
that's
you.
That's another
up.
Thing. Like, Melissa has never fought anybody and she's not going to.
But she loves to run around a table. Aggressively.
Yeah. So that's
she fun. Loves like, an aggressive
I would,
table
like,
run.
If Melissa got up near me, like that would not do anything. Like I would not be afraid that something was going to happen. Like if Melissa just got up near my presence, I'd be like, oh, is dinner over? Mm. Like it's not exciting or scary in any way. But
how do you find yourself reacting to Melissa versus Jen?
What is Melissa versus Jen?
Jen's your husband's a little bitch boy and you guys are crooks and I did this shit about Evan, but don't worry about it. And somehow it's all your fault.
So I'm never on Jen's side because, but I do understand her fight with Marge.
Okay.
I understand her point of view and I don't disagree with her point where she is saying that, you know, Jen talking about Marge, she's talking about things that Marge said.
Mm-hmm.
Marge talking about Jen. She's talking about things that Jen never wanted to be on television. So it is a little bit different because it's like, Marge, you said these things. This is part of your story. This is a part of you that everybody in the country knows, blah, 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 blah. So I'm commenting on it because everybody knows. I'm not saying anything new. Marge saying that was new information to everybody. It's new information to Jen. Like when Jen was in her confessional talking about, you know, their Syrian Orthodox community or whatever. And
Turkish.
Oh, was it Turkish?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, she was talking about like their Orthodox.
I could be fucking that up. I'm so sorry. Apologies.
I don't remember.
Apologies to the community. Genuinely, I'm sorry. I forget. Yeah.
But she was talking about like they didn't know. And, you know, Bill is kind of like a pillar in the community. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to look now that all of these people know that he cheated on her? Mm-hmm. How is that going to reflect on her? And she was like very honest with the fact that, you know, his parents are probably going to come and tell her, like, you didn't do your job as a wife, and that's right. why he did that. So it just kind of opened up a whole can of worms in Jen's life mm-hmm. that she thought was closed 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand her reaction, and I don't disagree with her point. And I wish the other women would take a beat to, like, sort of understand exactly what she's saying about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you have opened this chapter in my life that I closed.
Mm-hmm.
The chapter I was commenting on your life, you opened and were continuing to write. Like, you, like, are talking about this. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit different.
But when it comes to new information, how does that work within the context of Jackie and Evan? Because obviously that was seemingly new information to Jackie. Couldn't one argue that her argument about Bill is sort of counterproductive?
Whose argument about?
Jen's argument that, like, this is new information, I wanted to keep quiet. Like, then why is talking about, like, the Evan rumors any different from that, except that maybe Jackie didn't know that they existed? Like, doesn't that make it? People keep saying that because the Evan stuff isn't real, that makes it less damaging or less affecting than Bill's stuff because it really did happen. Like,
well,
what's the
Jen
difference?
I think Jen was horrible to Jackie.
Yeah.
And so Jackie has every right to hate her. But I was just talking about, like, her and Marge specifically.
I got
but
it.
Yeah, she was terrible to Jen. She went around digging for more information later.
Yeah, and like, then Teresa did the whole, where you weren't malicious, and Jen's like, I wasn't. But it's like, okay, that's literally yeah. the only reason you were doing this stuff was specifically because of that.
Because Teresa's stupid and Jen is malicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're just kind of sticking together as bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm annoyed where Dolores is going to end up in this, because Dolores does have two brain cells to rub together. And she recognizes that Jen is in the wrong, but she cannot go against Teresa for any reason. So she's going to end up in that triumvirate at some point.
Do you think she ever would?
No.
And why is that?
I don't know. Did she bury some bodies and Teresa know where they are? Like, I have no idea why she's
Teresa
so loyal
would forget
to this
at this point if it happened more than a year ago, which it probably did.
Like, I have no idea why she's so loyal to this person other than, you know, just general New Jersey loyalty.
I think that might be a part of it. It's like we always look through the eyes of production, but these women have been in each other's lives. They're seeming like their entire
years.
Lives.
Yeah.
More than that. Yeah. She knew them when they were kids. So, mm-hmm.
40 years.
So I don't know that that is even a possibility. I think that there is such a
like
connection.
Like, you don't throw away, like, their family.
Right. And it's closer to the idea of a classic traditional Italian, you defend your family with Teresa mm-hmm. and Dolores than it is with Teresa and Melissa and Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you see the example.
Yep. And I don't understand that. I don't. I was like, why would you go so... But, you know... We haven't seen Teresa have to go hard for Dolores the way that she has needed to go for Joe and
Do
Melissa.
Do you think she would?
No, because she didn't have it in her.
Really?
And so Dolores has not been in a position where she needed defending.
Or had to choose.
Right. But so that would be interesting if somebody... Ooh,
can make
that's
that
what I wanted. Yeah. Production. Who is working on that? Can we get
can
that to happen?
Can
we, like, Truman show
and...
this a little bit? That's what I need. I need
I
a little
it.
Truman Show magic.
I would love it.
So we can, yes, because I want to see what would happen if Teresa had to defend Dolores against her own instincts.
Someone needs to storyboard this
yep.
and at least send yep. us some screenshots.
Yep.
That'd be great. We'd really appreciate
great.
It.
Make it happen.
Can I just tell you how delightful this has been? I am obsessed with you. I honestly feel like I'm, like, riding a high right now, being here with you in person recording. I feel nothing but gratitude, and I'm so thankful for you schlepping to the Upper East Side to do this, because you're gonna be back next week is what I have to tell you. We didn't discuss it. Can you tell the folks how to support your writing, where to read you, where to follow you on social, and get in touch about a coat or a blanket?
Or
but
a
after
blanket.
Me, wait your fucking turn, guys. Tell
so
us
I'm
everything.
Rafi D'Angelo everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My website is soulletstalkabout.com if you wanna see what I have to say. I don't really write about housewives that often.
No, you don't.
I think the last thing I wrote about was, like, them putting random women of color in these all white casts and how that's just abusive. So I think that was the last thing I wrote about. But yep, that's where you can read my little writings. I write a little less now because I have a big boy job in finance.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm trying to get back on a writing schedule once I get my work schedule under control because I used to write in the mornings before work. And so that is the goal, to be able to write in the mornings before work.
And your writing is, I mean, it's just honestly really beautiful. You're a wonderful storyteller, and I go to your site quite often, and I'm always absolutely genuinely enamored with what you have to say. So I can't more highly encourage that people follow you and do all the supportive things. But again, don't ask for a blanket until mine is done. Guys, really important, exciting news. Andy's Girls 300th episode was announced, sent it in a, you know, on social and announced it and, you know, told some Patreon supporters about it too. The 300th episode of Andy's Girls is going to be recorded live here in New York City on Saturday, March 26th. Doors open at 8 o'clock. The show is at 9. Tickets are 20 in advance and 25 at the door. It is a huge deal for us to be doing another show back at Club Coming here downtown in New York City. And the one thing that I ask and beg is that people buy tickets. We want to be able to do this again and expand. If you had ever asked me when we started Andy's Girls, Damien and I, as a one-off science experiment, that this show would be recording episode 300, I would have absolutely told you to go fuck yourself, and also asked about my checking account, because I would have thought I would be making bajillions. But it's a really, really, really big deal. We want to be able to celebrate it. And the guest co-host for that night, I'm going to be joined by fashion writer, critic, the person I call the Doris Kearns Goodwin of Bravo, Evan Ross Katz. So and maybe some special guest. So I'm really, really excited about it. I would love to see AGs there, be able to celebrate, have some Prosecco and some sparkling seltzer with you. We do a Q&A, so you can ask us whatever you want during the show, and drinking games and again, seltzer friendly, and so much else. It's a great opportunity to go solo with friends. You get to meet AGs and you know, everyone's a vaccinista. It's a lot of fun. You can buy tickets, available now at andysgirls.eventbrite.com. Send me a DM. Tell me if you're going. I'm so excited about it. And also, I have my eye on upgrading AG Tech, which I have wanted to do for literal years. There is a beautiful piece of tech that I would love to get. And so I'm hoping that people attend and we sell out, because I would love to use this as an opportunity not to pay my bills, but to improve AG. That's essentially what happens with Patreon supporters and other ways of supporting AG. A lot of it goes back into the podcast itself. It's the joy of being an indie podcaster, producer, and host. It's a lot of money and a lot of time. So if you are not a Patreon Andy Scrolls supporter, join. You get exclusive bonus episodes, invites to Zoom, kikis, and so much more. I put up a Satchel Spectacular that's actually like monologuing about some other stuff too on the Patreon this week, which is patreon.com/Andy's Girls. $2 a month gets you my love and support. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes. And you can also do a premium tier and record a Patreon app, or just chat with me privately for an hour on Zoom. So that's patreon.com/AndySquirrels. And I also just want to say, we did a thing during COVID called Small Business Satchels of Gold, which are shout outs to small businesses that we want to support. Obviously, with everything going on in the economy here in the US and abroad, we want to make sure that we are able to amplify and celebrate some of our favorite stores and businesses, companies, restaurants, and bars. And it's Women's History Month. So hopefully every episode for the month of March, I'm going to be highlighting a small business I love. My guest co-host will as well. And I would love to also feature AG Satchels of Gold that are related to small businesses. So if you have a small business that's owned or operated by a woman that you would love to highlight, email them to me at the email address andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. Send me the name, if they have social media links, and your reasons why you want them to be highlighted as the small business satchel submitted by AGs. But I'm going to turn it over to Rafi. Rafi, do you have any small business satchels that are woman owned, owned operated? I'm like, words are hard. That you'd love to highlight?
Sure. So there's a restaurant on the Lower East Side called Dirt Candy. I think it has a
great,
you know Dirt Candy?
Yes, I haven't been, but I love them. Oh, I support them in theory. I have to go though.
Tell me
everything. I love hearing about them.
It is a vegetarian restaurant by Amanda Cohen. I think all of their offerings are tasting menu. I don't think you
It switched over from a la carte to prefix.
So, and they change it seasonally. Like I looked at it the other day, and it has like some really interesting dishes on there. It's usually like 5 courses, I think. Starting with an appetizer, ending with dessert. But usually they send out like, you know, little bites in between, like little nibbles of things, because they have the tasting menu that's set, but I think they also just like make extras depending on like what's fresh. What can we make today? So that's a great little restaurant down there. And for people who aren't in New York City, especially women of color across the country, there is a great sunscreen. Well, they don't just do sunscreen, but there's a lady named Katanya Bro who came up with this line called Unsun. And they do great sunscreens for women of color, so you don't get like that ashy look afterwards. It's clean ingredients. They're safe even for like little kids. So look into that. It's Unsun, U-N-S-U-N, by Katanya Bro.
I love that. And both sound absolutely fantastic. I do need to actually get to Dirt Candy as like a vegetarian vegan. Like I absolutely do. And I have been reading about them and in my head supporting them in theory, but not actually dined there. And it's ridiculous. Right. This is
my
inspiration.
I'm not a vegetarian.
But you love the food. You love good food. You make great food.
That is one of my top restaurants in the city.
Holy shit.
Like actually 2 of my top 10 restaurants in the city are vegetarian. Like that one. And then my other one is Ha Ha Ha, the vegan taco place.
Oh yeah, which is so good.
So that's also a top 10 restaurant.
There's like a fish thing that's not fish.
Yep,
that's like
fish taco is
one
of my top 3.
Great.
The sweet potato is my favorite. Yes. Well, depending on the day, it's the sweet potato, the mushroom, or the fish taco, or the chorizo taco.
And it's spelled J A J A J A.
Yes.
And it's great. I highly recommend that as well. Listen, the small business natural I want to highlight is one of my favorite places to go to. I always love to hop and explore and just feel so taken care of. A business company delight called Catbird, whose mission is to make beautiful, sparkling, responsibly made jewelry and more that will bring you joy now through forever. I'm wearing a bunch of Catbird pieces. It is owned and operated, created by 2 women, one of whom I'm afraid I'm going to butcher her name, Roni. I've interacted with before, one of the owners, and she's absolutely fantastic. A fellow Hebrew, shalom. And the pieces that they make, I'm looking at my hand, I'm literally wearing on my body right now, no less than 10 pieces of Catbird. I love them. It's all very delicate, stackable pieces. And you walk into their store, whether you order online or walk into their store in Williamsburg or downtown Manhattan, you always feel taken care of. Everything is so beautiful and so lovely. They make you feel good. And they're also an absolutely socially responsible company. They just announced commitments of tens of thousands of dollars to help the people of Ukraine. And they're constantly looking for ways to invest in the New York City community, in the communities of women of color, in the communities of women who are jewelry makers, and so much more. I really, really love Catbird. And so, guys, if you're interested in learning more about any of the companies and folks that we just mentioned, I'm going to include links in the show notes for you to shop your little hearts out. And again, Women's History Month, that's right, we get a month, and go us. So if you have a small business satchel, email it to me, okay? Because I'd love to feature your picks, your suggestions, including your own businesses and companies. Slide into my email and let me know. Rafi?
Hi.
Do you follow me on Instagram @DameGally?
I do.
Thank you. this was quite an episode. I just really just can't thank you enough. This was just really wonderful.
Thanks for having me over.
I loved it. And guys, I'm hoping to do more in person, COVID safe. And it feels great. It feels honestly like a little bit of a return home for AG. And so I hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Hopefully this app brought you a little bit of light. And on that note, guys, we'll talk to you later. Larsa, I just want to say again that I support you in maybe being a bad person. I just want to say that you're giving me great content. And that's the note we're going to end on this week. All right, guys. Hope you're all doing okay. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.